So now, Israel, what do you think God expects from you? Just this: live in his presence in holy reverence. Follow the road he sets out for you. Love him, serve God, your God, with everything you have in you. Obey the commandments and regulations of God that I'm commanding you today. Live a good life. Look around you. Everything you see is God's. The heavens above and beyond the earth and everything on it. But it was your ancestors who God fell in love with. He picked their children, that's you, out of all the other peoples. That's where we are right now. So cut away the thick calluses from your heart and stop being so willfully hard-headed. God, your God, is the God of all gods. He's the master of all masters. A God immense and powerful and awesome. He doesn't play favorites, takes no bribes, makes sure orphans and widows are treated fairly, takes loving care of foreigners by seeing that they get food and clothing. You must treat foreigners with the same loving care. Remember, you were once foreigners in Egypt. Reverently respect God, your God. Serve him. Hold tight to him. Back up your promises with the authority of his name. He's your praise. He's your God. He did all these tremendous, these staggering things that you saw with your own eyes. When your ancestors entered Egypt, they numbered a mere 70 souls. And now look at you. You look more like the stars in the night skies in number. And your God did it. This is the word of the Lord.
My wife is from Wisconsin, not very far from Green Bay. And the whole family still lives there, many of them in the town that they grew up in. The five siblings and their spouses, the nieces and nephews, the great nieces and nephews, everybody is there except us. A little over a year ago, the church where most of the family goes fired their pastor. And I got a phone call from one of the brothers-in-law, and he said, "We're looking for a pastor, and we'd really like for you to come and interview." And a few weeks later, one of our nephews, who was the president of his congregation in Green Bay, called and said, "We're looking for a pastor. We would love to interview you." And so I said to both of them, "I will pray." And there was this ripple of excitement that went through the family because, wow, everybody would be at home. And my wife was incredibly excited, and we could go home. And God said no. It wasn't just a whisper. There wasn't just a hint of a no. It was a door-slamming, painful, flat-out no. The family wasn't very happy. And there were some really quiet days at our house because my wife was incredibly disappointed. The thing is, I've preached in the church where the family goes. They know me. I could have gone. I believe they would have offered me a call. But the thing is, it would have been a complete disaster. Why? Because that wasn't God's plan. Because God had other plans for me. And so I felt about this big for a long time. And even as I shared this with Barb yesterday, she's like, "Are you really going to tell that story?" I said, "Well, if you don't want me to, no, then you'll have to change the whole thing." The thing is, sometimes God says no. But when God asks us to be obedient, he's serious about that. It's not a, "Well, maybe." It's not a, "Well, how can I wiggle out of this?" If God says yes, then we are to go. And if he says no, then we are to stay. And sometimes it's really painful. And sometimes it's really hard. And oftentimes when God asks us to be obedient, it doesn't just affect us. It affects other people around us. But the thing is, Scripture is full of stories of people that God has asked to be obedient. You think about Noah, 600 years old. God's got him out in the desert building an ark. Or Abram, God says to him, "I want you to leave your family and your country. I want you to leave everything that's familiar to you and go to a place that I will show you. He didn't even know where God was taking him. And then last week, the text that Pastor John used with Moses, we talked about consequences. The Israelites needed water and there was none. And God said to Moses, I want you to speak to this rock and water will come forth. I don't know how far it was from where God spoke to Moses and the rock. I don't know what happened in between here and there. But I do know that Moses was kind of up to here with the Israelites. And he was irritated. And he came to the rock and he said, so you want us to get water from a rock, do you? And he beat the rock with his staff. And water came forth. But there were consequences for Moses' disobedience. God said, you didn't honor me. You weren't obedient. This will cost you your chance to go into the promised land. But if you keep reading in that story, it isn't very many verses later where we read these words, and Moses did as God commanded. There isn't a book in Scripture where somebody isn't called to be obedient. And if you want to look at the height of obedience, we look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's eaten the Last Supper with the disciples. They've gone to the garden. He knows what's coming. And he goes off by himself. And two times he says to God, you know, do you think maybe, just maybe, we could do this some other way? Could you take this cup from me? But the third time he went, he said, okay, it's not what I want, it's what you want. The call for us to be obedient is not new. And it isn't going to go away. Because as God's children, you and I are called to be obedient. That's our human response to God's grace, to God's love that he has lavished on us. And whether it's the Old Testament or the New, whether it was 3,000 years ago or right here, right now, today, we are still called to be obedient. And when we look at this lesson that Jennifer read today, one of the things that it said was that we're to cut away the thick calluses from our heart. Think about your feet and how sometimes they get calloused. Imagine those surrounding your heart. And God says, cut them away. Some translations say, circumcise your heart. You see, from Abraham on, circumcision has been an outward sign of our covenant relationship with God. But now the Israelites are standing right there. They're ready to enter into the promised land. And God says, I want more from you now. I don't just want external obedience. I want you to be obedient from your heart. I want you to do my bidding and do my will from your heart. Those words are for you and I too. He wants us to do his will and his bidding from our hearts, not because we have to. We aren't called to obedience by dotting all of the I's and crossing all of the T's. We're called to obedience because we revel in the love that God has given us and we rejoice in his grace. And out of that obedience then, out of that love, we are obedient. Out of that overflowing love. When we talk about walking in God's ways, when we talk about following the path that he has set for us, sometimes we forget. We're like the Israelites. We forget that being obedient isn't just for the Sabbath. It isn't just for Sunday. Because if our obedience only happens when we're in this place on Sunday morning, then what we do here really doesn't carry very much weight. You see, obedience is more than just 1 hour. On Sunday morning, being obedient is how you and I live our lives. It's what we're called to do. And when we walk that path, when we are obedient, That's the fruit that comes from a heart that has accepted God as our Lord and Jesus as our Savior. If we're just mouthing words of devotion, they're pretty darn hollow words. And yes, we can follow all the rules and the regulations. We can do the right thing. Here's the scary part for me. There are many who believe, including, I would guess, some that are here today. Many who believe that being baptized and confirmed, people who believe that if you belong to church, and for some people it has to be the right church, that if you sit in the pew on Sunday and you partake in the Lord's Supper, that your salvation is guaranteed. People believe that. And those things are important. They carry weight. But that any physical act that you or I might do isn't what brings us our salvation. Our salvation comes when the Holy Spirit starts stirring in our lives and stirring in our hearts, and it draws us closer and closer to Jesus until we accept Him as our Lord and our Savior, until we revel in His grace and we just kind of bask in the love that He lavishes on us. And it's out of that overflow that we can be obedient. Because, see, the thing is, God doesn't want us to be obedient because we're supposed to. He wants us to be obedient because we love Him. And if we love Him and we serve Him and we follow His ways, then being obedient really isn't a chore. And in fact, it can really bring joy sometimes. So Moses said to the Israelites, and Neil, if I could have those two verses, please. These verses are for you and I too. What do you think God expects from you? Just this. Live in the presence of holy reverence. Follow the road that He sets out for you. Love Him. Serve God, your God, with everything you have in you. Obey the commandments and the regulations of God that I am commanding you today, Moses says. That's how you live a good life. We're called to follow the road that God sets out for us. And sometimes it's the road less traveled. And sometimes it looks like I-17 headed north on a Friday in the summer. And sometimes we're called to follow a path that we don't know the ending. Sometimes we're like Abram and we're called to go and we aren't sure why, and we don't understand why we're being asked to do what it is that we're being asked to do. So I want to share a story with you this morning. There's a young woman that I know. She's an incredibly amazing young woman. She's a school nurse at an elementary school. And she went to school on Friday just like she does every other day. But Friday turned out to be anything but ordinary. This came mid-afternoon. She says, I need my prayer warriors. One of my first grade students came in today complaining of feeling dizzy. Moments later, she was unconscious and unresponsive. I called the paramedics and she was rushed to the hospital. They found a mass in her brain and she is now intubated and being helicoptered to Phoenix Children's Hospital. I am here with her mom and our principal. Please keep this little girl in your prayers. At 8 o'clock Friday night, this is what I received from this young woman. She's in emergency surgery now. They found that her brain was bleeding. I am still at Phoenix Children's Hospital just praying. I can't believe this. And then yesterday morning, this little first grader who has only been in my office for maybe a stomach ache or a lost tooth. Surgery went better than they expected, but she is still unconscious and she is still intubated. They are running tests today and possibly she may have another surgery. Here's the thing. It would have been really easy for that young woman to watch them load that child into the ambulance, to wave to her mom and say, good luck, we're thinking about you. But when we avail ourselves to God, when we listen for his voice, when we are attuned to his workings in our lives, and maybe we feel a nudge, then God will use us in incredible and amazing ways. And I truly believe that on Friday, that young woman was the light of Christ for that little girl and for her mom. Here's the thing. How many of you watch TV? Look at that, almost all of you. Sometimes when we watch TV, there's a commercial for the military. And what do they say? It's not just a job, it's an adventure, right? That can be your life and mine in Jesus Christ if we're willing to do the things that he asks us to do. If we're willing to be obedient, if we listen, if we wait for instruction, if we wait for the nudge. Because just think what we might miss out on if we say, no, I'm busy, I'm sorry, I can't. No, that's too scary. No, I don't want to do that. If we're willing to be obedient, to listen, God will use us to do incredible, amazing things. You don't want to miss out on that. This life of ours of being obedient or trying to be obedient isn't always easy. It isn't always fun. And it doesn't always make sense. And all of us have questions. We don't understand things. But I challenge you here and now today to be willing to be open, to be willing to listen, to follow the path that God has set for you, to join in the adventure. And those two verses that Neil put up earlier, when I look at those verses, I see all of those things, that what does God expect of you, wrapped up in one thing. Whether it's the Israelites or whether it's you and I here today, the question is, how do we bear God's name? How do we bear God's name? What do people see when they look at you, when they look at me? Do our lives, does what we say, what we do, how we act, does that honor God? Can people tell by looking at you or I that we seek to obey, to serve, and love God? Because the thing is, words aren't the only way that we can preach the gospel. Sometimes actions are way louder than words. So let me tell you about another friend of mine. This is a man I've known for 8 or 10 years. He's somebody that I really, really admire. Maybe when I grow up, I'll be like him. This friend of mine has a half-brother. And a number of years ago, his half-brother, who lives in Portland, Oregon, was going to get married. And so my friend and their mom, they share a mom, they have different dads, went to Portland to go to this man's wedding. This half-brother is a member of the Orthodox Church in Portland. But because my friend and his mom weren't members of that specific church, they were not allowed to enter the church for the wedding. And my friend said to me, if that's who God is, if God only lets some people in and not others, why would I ever want anything to do with him? And I've tried over and over for years. I've dripped on this man. And I've said, that's not who God is. But sometimes we as God's people don't bear his name very well. That was Israel's call. They were going into the promised land. There were all of these people there, all of those ites. If you've been reading, you know the list is like this long. People who didn't know God. God wanted his people to bear his name, to make his name known. Our call is no different. There are thousands of people who don't know the love of God in Jesus Christ. And there are hundreds and hundreds more who have been a part of the church, who have been wounded by something the church has done, or something that someone who claims to be one of God's people has done. That's not bearing God's name when we chase people out. Because the thing is, when Jesus said, go and make disciples, he wasn't talking to somebody else. He was talking to us. That's our call. So I got up this morning and I read through the scripture again, and there was something else that caught my eye. Another phrase. Except I'm not sure it really caught my eye as much as it caught my heart. Moses said to the Israelites, he, that is God, is our praise. Think about that. God is the reason we give thanks and praise. He's the one that we give thanks and praise to. And when I looked at that in light of the question, why are we to be obedient? I started to think about who God was and all the different ways we refer to him. I mean, he's our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in time of trouble. He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's our shelter. He's our provision. We're studying the I Am's on Wednesday nights. Look around. This is who he is. The way, the truth, and the life. The true vine, the good shepherd. The resurrection and the life. That's who he is. He's our life. This is my question for you today. Who is God to you? And what will it look like for you to be obedient? Amen.